So we're going to finish up some of our work with verse 13, 1 Peter 1, 13. But we're going to start to move into verse 14 in our series, Living the Hope. Elect exiles living the hope in a hostile culture. We're going to start with talking about girding up our loins. I had a few things to straighten out on that. One of them is that it was brought to my attention that this is armor all. This is armor all, okay? And this is under armor, okay? This is under armor. So there is a difference between armor all and under armor, and what I was trying to refer to last time was under armor. So as the idea of gearing up to go skiing or whatever athletic outdoor thing that we need this time of year, snowboarding maybe, whatever. So that's something I've learned. And then in the handout at item one, I repeated the pictures. You have the picture of the Hebrews. They are. You have to look closely at this picture. But in the background, you see somebody putting blood on the doorposts. But then the people around the table, if you look carefully, you see they're wearing their sandals, and they are. They have their staff with them, and that's because Exodus 12:11, and thus you shall eat it. I'm actually reading from the King James. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And this reference in Exodus is a sort of a metaphor for what Peter and also Paul want to get us to be thinking about mentally, that we need to sort of have the loins of our mind girt. And so we're going to take a few minutes and look at these. Actually, I've got somebody with Exodus 12:11 in the ESV. If you'd read that, please. Okay, stand up. Sorry. Or it's Passover, and there again, New American Standard has the loins girded. The ESV has your belt fastened, and when we say the belt, it reminds us of Ephesians 6, and to have the belt of truth, or really the belt of truthfulness. Again, there's sort of this metaphor that speaks to our mind, referring to a belt beaten, tightened up, cinched up, ready to go, and it tells us about our mind. But the idea of girding loins is not confined to men. Actually, in Proverbs 31:7, it's referred to for the woman in Proverbs 31. So 31:17 from the King James.
She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth
her arms. This is kind of interesting because compared to men, women do not tend to have as much upper body strength. And what we're doing is we're admiring this woman who is really taking on strength, even almost the strength of a man. She's taking on tasks as needed, even if she has to have the strength of a man. So she's girding her loins and strengthening her arms. So that's the way it's written in the King James. How about the NIV?
She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task.
So it's an entirely different rendering in the NIV. She sets about her tasks vigorously. In my opinion, you lose a lot in that translation. We're not talking about just setting about her tasks vigorously. We're saying she's girding up her loins. She is really pulling it together. She's really bringing strength to bear with all of her strength. ESV, how does the ESV say it? So at least in the second part, she's making her arms strong. And There again, she dresses herself with strength, just doesn't bring you that military or athletic notion of really bringing to bear a tightness, a discipline, a strength to the task.
Amen.
So I thought it was helpful for us to just kind of work with that verse just a little bit in the different ways it's translated, so that we don't lose the meaning that's there, because we need that meaning to bring it into the New Testament and understand when we read the same words what we're talking about. And Peter, if you look at the top of the handout, verse 13, he says, preparing your minds for action, literally girding up the loins of your mind. So once again, we're losing that a little, we're losing the benefit of the metaphor there, and being sober-minded. So he puts those together, and those are descriptors of how we do what. What is it that we're doing with those descriptors?
Setting
our hope what?
Fully.
We oftentimes hear people say, well, hopefully. Hopefully the next time you hear the term hopefully, it will remind you of this verse. Because this verse, Peter says, to hope fully. And so that's the third descriptor. He's got three descriptors. He's got girding up the loins of your mind, being sober-minded, and setting our hope fully. So three different descriptors. Okay. Now, I've got a list of verses here that kind of work that out for us, and they all kind of hover around the word sober. As the word sober is used, I've given you the Strong's notation there for that. If you want to do a little word study on NAFO, but the word sober is actually used by Peter several times. If you have your Bible open to 1 Peter, if you could look to 1 Peter. I'm going to kind of walk through this a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Notice what he's doing. He's saying, look, when things are tough. And he says, the end of all things is at hand. And that's a sense of expectation for the return of the Lord that we all need to have. Yeah, you know, it seems like, you know, well, 2,000 years have gone by and the Lord hasn't returned. Right. So the end of all things really is at hand. And we really need to have that in mind. Then he says, be self-controlled and sober-minded. Again, a reference back, girding up your mind, control, having discipline, have your mind disciplined while you're doing what? While you're praying. So Peter is saying, you know, we need. Last week I kind of started off on a jag about something about the debate, the creation debate earlier, and Eric was so kind. I started ranting, and he said, "Bert, focus." That's what Peter is saying. He's saying, fill in the blank with your name. Focus. When you're praying, focus. Because we are in the end times.
Amen.
And this is not something you just go, well, Lord, this, that, whatever. Focus when you're praying. So he's using that word sober-minded in that context. And then if you turn a page to chapter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful, be on the alert. Again, the soldier who is, it doesn't matter if they're on the offense, where they're moving into enemy territory and they're watchful. Today, they have to be watchful for snipers as well as just infantry. But they're moving into enemy territory. Be watchful. Be sober. Be watchful. Be sober in the sense of keep your focus. And we use the word sober as the opposite of intoxicated. And the word intoxicated means there are toxins that we have allowed in. Intoxicated. And the opposite of that is keep it out. Keep out the distractions. Focus. Focus. Be watchful. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so he's, you know, in this, remember, this whole context is, this is the way he's describing in our verse today, is to set your hope. He wants us to be very alert, very focused, and concentrating on this idea of hope. And in our memory verse that we did last semester, last term, last quarter, whatever it was, that we did the first few verses of 1 Peter 1. And we memorized earlier in verses 3, 4, and 5 about our inheritance. And sometimes folks get a little, they're just not real sure, you know, what does it mean to somehow be all happy about heaven and our inheritance? I'm just glad I'm saved. You know, and if there's a reward down the road, praise God, but I'm just happy I'm saved. So they're a little bit uncomfortable about it. But the Bible tells us to focus on those rewards. But we're gonna kind of see a nuance of that today. Before we're done, we're going to see a nuance of that today that's going to clear that all up for you. So if you've been at all uneasy about setting your hope and thinking about future rewards, not a problem. That's not going to be a problem in about 10 minutes. So I'll try to get to it before our orchestra and choir folks have to leave. Okay. Now the opposite is, if you turn back to chapter 4 of 1 Peter and you look at verse 3, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. The time is past. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. What are all those? Toxins. Those are all distractions. Amen. Sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. Lawless idolatry is you allow anything to become an idol in your life. And it's lawless because the law is, I am the Lord your God. In the Jewish rendering of the Ten Commandments, that's actually the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. Second commandment is, have no gods before me. But the first commandment by itself, that's enough right there. I'm the Lord your God. And I'm going to just remind you from Luke 21, you don't have to look it up, but Luke 21, it says, watch yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. So even if we're not afflicted with drunkenness, if that's not a problem that we struggle with, it may be in some way for some, but even if it's not, dissipation. What's dissipation? Laziness, not being involved in God, on God's program, and the cares of this life, which of course Jesus talked about a number of times, including the soil, when the seed was planted in the soil, and the cares of this life, the anxieties of this life, choked out the plant. Okay, and then another way of thinking of it in terms of negative terms and positive is 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 to 8. If you have that, if you would read that, please. So a kind of an echoing to Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation, and in this case, the helmet is the hope of salvation. And if you think about it, putting on a helmet doesn't do anything for you right now, but it certainly is going to do something for you in the future when you're in battle. And so there's a futureness to the hope. The helmet is the hope of salvation. But Paul here is saying, you know, being sober is being alert. It's like how we are during the daytime. And it's not how we tend to be at night. Okay. And then 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 5. Somebody, I think I passed it. Okay, yeah.
Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian must complete as his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the
rules. If the athlete takes on steroids or other prowess-enhancing toxins, they don't get the prize, or they don't get to keep the prize. They get embarrassed to have to lose the prize. And he's saying, look at the soldier. The soldier, when the soldier's marshal or commander, whoever it is, the one who enlisted him is literally how it's written, says, go, you go. You move forward.
That's right.
And you don't stop and say, wait a minute, I gotta check my email. No. And that's what we did. You know, I wanted to bring this out, because this is what surrounds this command to set your hope. We talked last week about hope. Hope being something we think of almost like an emotion, or, you know, it's kind of something kind of soft. And Peter is giving it to us as a command, not only as a command, but a command in context. And the context is focus, be sober-minded, stay on program, look forward, listen to God's Word, read God's Word. That's your program. And anything that's not part of the program, we need to just shed, just like the soldier sheds it off to the side. And I'll tell you, probably for some of the saints in Cuba, certainly for some of the saints that Peter is writing to in Asia Minor, where they live in hardship, and the choices are either I'm either going to depend on God in this hardship or not. I mean, there really are. There's not a lot of distractions. We actually have more distractions. I'm so grateful the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write this, because we probably need this reminder more than the saints in Cuba or the saints at the time in Asia Minor, because we have so many distractions. All right, so real quickly, just a couple words, preparing your mind for action and being sober-minded. If you were going to sum it up in a couple words, what would you give me a couple words to sum up that command? Those descriptions. Focus. There it is. Focus, Bert. Focus.
All the Boy Scouts would remember, be prepared.
Be prepared. Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about application. What are some circumstances where we need to remind ourselves of this? We need to let Peter remind us of this. We need to let the Word, we need to let the Holy Spirit, we need to pray to the Holy Spirit to remind us to be focused. What are some circumstances where we need that reminder? Can you think of an example? I mean, you can always third party. Well, I know somebody who blah, 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 blah. You know, my friend, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Excellent. Good. Anyone else? Please.
Mostly for me, in the midst of situations that are really intense, really fast, and family-oriented.
Okay. Yeah. Fast, family, situations.
Yes.
Crises, issues, difficulties.
Things that, you know, like hit my emotional
bed. We have hair triggers, don't we?
Yeah.
And when there's something that happens that we see our children put at risk, or our parents, or anybody else that we love, you know, now some of us have a little calmer approach. The rest of us are, we're ready to go. We wanted to deal. We want to fix the problem immediately. And we don't stop and ask, what would the Lord have me do in this situation? Good. Any other application? Yeah, please. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Lynn, for hanging out of our comfort zone or going through an adjustment of some kind in our life that we have to get used to.
Yes. Of comfort zone. Good. Mike?
Just, you know, not letting the urgent things get in the way of really what we should do.
Yeah. What's that expression? The tyranny of the urgent. Yep. Good. Okay. So we need to pray about this. This is a weak spot for us. And so we need to really be thinking about it. I'm going to stop here. We're going to pick up on this next week. But before we do, I do want to do two things. Number one, I want you to think about something that's going to be, we're going to start with next week. And this is from the book, This Beautiful Mess, Practicing the Presence of the Kingdom of God, by Rick McKinley. I'm not recommending that book. I'm just telling you where I got this from. And he's talking about the way some witnessing was done in Portland. And he said, no flashy programs, but with God's help, we were beginning to embark on a new way of being and seeing the world, a new way like socks and cigarettes, for example. Our group started passing out socks and cigarettes to the street youth of Portland. Hundreds of kids living on the streets were confronted with the kingdom through socks and cigarettes. The socks and cigarettes met needs, spoke their language, announced that someone cared, and showed them that in the kingdom of heaven, no one is a throwaway. So I would like you to think about that, socks and cigarettes. If you walk into a homeless encampment and you have socks in one hand and cigarettes in another hand, people come running up to you, okay? But she would be handing out cigarettes. Okay, so I want you to think about that in the context of hope and the kingdom and being sober-minded and preparing our minds for action. Please think about that. Finally, I promised you that I would sort out, not really I, but the Word of God, will sort out how we need to be thinking about hope for the future. And if we're uncomfortable always thinking about rewards, it's okay. We need to be thinking about rewards because that's in the Bible. But along the way, here is a pathway for you to be thinking about that. And it's Titus 2:11-14, if you'd read this, please. Okay. I got it. Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. And so here's what we see, and we see this in several places in the Bible. It's when we were reading in our memory verse that we're looking at looking forward to the revelation of Christ, to the reappearance of Christ, that we should be joyful as we think about that. And what Titus is reminding us here is that it's not just I'm joyful about my salvation, which we want to be, and not just joyful about all the drama of the end times, when I appear before Christ and give an account, when there's a great white throne judgment, when we find ourselves before the throne, worshiping the Lamb who is worthy. Not just all of that, beauty and drama, but the grace. We get amazing grace as it pertains to us in the past, as we received Jesus and as the Lord became real in our lives, actually brought us to life. So there's amazing grace in faith.
Amen.
There's amazing grace in hope.
Right.
And if you think about it, not only am I saved from my sin in the past and in the present, but I will be saved from my sin in the future. Mm-hmm. And so my joy associated with my faith, which has a lot of gratitude involved, my joy and my gratitude associated with my faith in the present and the past is the same joy that I can have that when I do stand before the Bema throne and give an account, every word and deed, and I just want to say, gulp, but I can even now enjoy and have hope in the future grace of what will happen in the future, what will happen at that time. So it's past grace, present grace, future grace. We can grab a hold. We can't always grab a hold of the drama and the throne, the judgment, and the worship. We try to picture what is presented to us in Revelation and 1 Thessalonians and in the Old Testament, Ezekiel and Jeremiah. We try to picture that, Isaiah. We try to picture God's holy throne and try to picture how we would feel joyful. And that's all well and proper. But if that's a little bit, feeling like it's a little bit beyond our reach, you know what's within our reach? Present grace, past grace, future grace. Amen. We just take that same grace and let it roll forward and realize that the same God who has saved us from spiritual death, who is with us right now in this moment, keeping us alive spiritually, will continue to sustain us spiritually in the future. That means there's going to be future grace as well. Right. So same grace, past, present, and future. Grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We can grab that. Any questions, comments on anything we've covered? Next week, we're going to finish up this lesson, and we'll move a little bit into 14 and through 17. Father God in heaven, we just thank you for grace, past, present, and future. Help us to set our minds on the hope, fully, soberly, and with focus. Help us to be focused even as we go to worship today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.